Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today. May God open your heart and mind as you listen to the eternal truths found in His Word.
Our sermon passage comes from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set aside by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven. The word of the Lord. Today is the seventh Sunday of Easter, and it is also the Sunday that falls right after the Feast of the Ascension. This past Thursday was 40 days since Resurrection Sunday, which meant on Thursday we were then 10 days from Pentecost. And so since we didn't gather together on Thursday, most churches take today to talk about the Ascension and what that meant for us and what it calls us to. We're almost to Pentecost. We're almost to what many consider to be the birthday of the church, but we're not there yet. I found it funny this week, that last song we just sung, Pentecostal Power, that's a fun song. Like, it had my toe tapping, and, you know, if I was a worse Nazarene, I may have been dancing around a little bit. And it's a fun song. But as I was thinking about it this week and I was looking at it, I was like, you know, we're not at Pentecost yet. Pentecost is still going to be a week away. But the song talks about send that Pentecostal power, send it to us, and how we want it to come, and we're anxious for it, and we're waiting for it. And so I thought it did good, because today I'll be talking about waiting a little bit. And that song, it kind of does two things to me. One, it tells me, yeah, like, we're waiting for God to send that Pentecostal power. Come on and send it, God. But at the same time, we're not always very good at waiting. You know, we're, come on, God, send us that Pentecostal power. It's time for Pentecost. And to remind everybody that I'm human, I'm going to tell a brief story about a time when I did not do well with waiting. So one of the things that we see Jesus say to his disciples is, go and wait. And I think I'm like the disciples in the regard that I don't wait very well. So not to throw my mom under the bus, but if she's watching, I'm throwing her under the bus. So I inherited many traits from my mom. My love of reading came from my mom. My sense of humor came from my mom. One of the things that she gave me that I wish she wouldn't is she has what's known as a lead foot. meaning when she drives, the speed limit is more of a light suggestion. And she unfortunately passed that trait down to me. There was one day I was driving to school, was out in Kansas City, and I was dog sitting for Pastor Steve, my pastor out in Kansas, when I lived out there. And I had to get to class, and I was driving, and I was on a 435 or whatever that highway is. And traffic was just worse than it normally was. And one thing I don't do well in is traffic. It is, I turn into a different Brent. I don't do well in it. So I was like, I'm going to take this exit here, and I'm going to just drive along this way, and I'm going to get to class as quick as I can because I'm going to be late. And so I was driving to class, and all of a sudden I see somebody with something pointed at me like this in the middle of the street. Now, the neighborhood I was driving in was not known as the safest neighborhood in Kansas City. So I sped up thinking, dear Lord, I don't want to get shot today. I don't want to get shot any day, but that day especially. Turns out that it wasn't some guy that was going to mug me, it was a cop with a radar gun. Which didn't help that I sped up. What also didn't help was I realized that right on the other side of the corner was a church that doubled as a school. So I was in a school zone, speeding up in front of a cop with his radar gun pointed directly at me. To make matters worse, I was going to a class that was on contemplation and meditation. Apparently, I needed that class that day. So the cop pulls me over and tells me how fast I was going compared to how fast I should have been going. And then he asked me a date of birth, to which my reply was 1991 today. It's my 25th birthday, and a cop gave me a ticket. And so instead of being 5 minutes late to class, I ended up being closer to half an hour late to class because I couldn't wait. I couldn't just sit in traffic for 3 minutes. I didn't do well with waiting, although it probably would have done me good and my bank account at that point to wait a little bit. So I know how hard it is to wait and to be patient and to do things the way that we're supposed to. We talked about this a little bit at Bible study, about how hard it must have been for the disciples to have to wait. We see Jesus saying, wait until the promise of the Father comes to you. And I just imagine they must have been like, are you kidding me? You know, Jesus, we knew you were the Messiah, and so we kind of expected you to go into Rome and, you know, take names. We kind of expected you to take over. You know, we really thought you were going to recreate the kingdom of Israel here on earth. You know, they continually expected that with, you know, Jesus, should we grab our swords? No, the kingdom isn't like that. Even to the point where they had walked with Jesus for 3 years. They had seen him crucified and buried. They had seen him resurrected and walking around and preaching and teaching and showing signs for 40 days after he had been raised from the dead. And at that point, I would think they would get it that the kingdom is not the way they were expecting. But that's when they asked the question, Lord, so is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And I imagine Jesus must have just done a face palm at that point. Just, come on, guys. And so they asked, is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom? They were still thinking that it was the here and the now on the earth, conquering Rome, taking back what's ours. But instead, Jesus preemptively tells them, wait. Wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the Holy Spirit that will come. And I imagine that must have been difficult because they've seen what Jesus has done. They want to go out. They want to say everything they have seen and what they've experienced, and they want to go. They want to start the kingdom of Israel. They want to start the kingdom of God. Even if they don't really know what that looks like, they want to go. They were told, you'll be my witnesses in all of Jerusalem and all of Judea and all of Samaria and all of the earth. But first, wait. After Jesus tells them to hurry up and wait, we see Jesus is lifted up into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father. Now, there's a couple of things about this that I want to note that I think are important when we talk about the ascension. First of all, if you look at almost any painting, any icon, any artwork of the ascension, they tend to have something in common in the way that they display Jesus. They tend to have him in a cruciform shape or a cross shape, that when he's lifted up, he's being lifted up like this, which of course calls to mind his crucifixion, that when the leaders put on his cross the King of the Jews, it was a reminder that I am indeed the King of the Jews and I am the King of the world. That which you thought to do evil has been turned into good. And so we're reminded of his crucifixion, of his death and of his resurrection, and that he has completely overcome it. He has completely overcome death. Another thing to note is, I mentioned this on Tuesday night, there's what theologians will call a exaltation parabola, where Jesus, the Son of God, was in heaven sitting at the right hand of God, and he comes down and is born of the Virgin Mary, and he lives life, and he suffers death, even death on a cross, and then he's raised to life, and then he's ascended back into heaven. So there's this parabolic shape to his life. And so Christ has been lifted up and Christ has been taken back into heaven, and he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. But so now that leaves us, along with the Eucharist, we are the body of Christ and we are his presence in the world here and now. Our name, Christian, literally means little Christ. We are to be little Christ running around the earth, his body and his blood here and now. We, because of his ascension, are called to take up his mission here on earth. But we wait until the Spirit calls us to it. We wait until the Spirit has descended and enabled us to go out into the world. One last thing about the ascension that I think is just so cool. So the Bible never specifically mentions the Trinity. It never specifically spells out a Trinitarian theology. But there are passages that we're able to look at and see that God is Trinitarian, that God is three in one and one in three. And this is one of those passages where Jesus the Son ascends to the Father, and then he promises that the Spirit will come down. So Jesus, who is God, is leaving, and the Holy Spirit, who is God, will come down. But we'll talk a little bit more about that next week at Pentecost. For now, like the disciples, we wait. One of my recent experiences over the last couple weeks was, I ended up having a conversation with a friend. And this was a conversation I probably should have had about a year ago. It was a conversation that when this person and I, when we first became friends, it would not have been the appropriate conversation then. But after a few months and after a little bit of time getting to know one another, the conversation should have been had after some waiting. In fact, there were multiple times where it seemed like it was the right time, but I decided, no, I'll wait to have this conversation because it's a heavy conversation, and who knows where it'll go. I'll just put things off and wait. And then finally, when I had the conversation a couple weeks ago with this friend, I realized it was likely too late for that conversation. You see, I had thought that I was having patience and that I was waiting patiently. But really, I was just being inactive. And so I think it was fitting this week that I came across a quote by a former Catholic Archbishop, Fulton Sheen, who said, "Patience is power. Patience is not an absence of action. Rather, it is timing. It waits on the right time to act, for the right principles, and in the right way." And so as I thought about my own experience and I thought about the disciples, part of me wonders, all right, what are they doing when they're waiting? How do they know how long to wait? Is there a difference between waiting and inactivity? And I think, if I can speak for us, I think we often struggle with that. I know I do, where I think I'm waiting, but instead I'm being inactive. And so this next week we will wait for Pentecost, but that does not mean we will be inactive. We wait for Pentecost and we wait for the Holy Spirit and we expect the Holy Spirit to come and we look out for the Holy Spirit to come and we call on her to come. And so there's a difference between inactivity of just sitting by and letting the world go on and waiting until the Holy Spirit tells us now. Now is the time. Now is the time for you to be witnesses of Christ to all of Cape Elizabeth and to all of Portland and to all of Maine and to all of the New England area. But we wait until the Holy Spirit moves us in that direction. We wait until the Holy Spirit opens that door, not in inactivity, but in prayer and in expectation. In many ways, we're in a small advent to Pentecost. You know, Advent is the active waiting for Christ to come at Christmas. In this week, we actively wait the presence of the Holy Spirit to come down upon us. It means that we pray and we wait, but in an active way that waits for the right time and the right opportunity for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you abundantly as you serve him today.